Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's video, I want to talk to you about interest rates. So we've been talking a lot about inflation on the channel and the fact that the levels that we're seeing all across the world right now are far higher than any of the central banks are targeting. And so they need to do something to combat that high level of inflation. And the traditional method of bringing down inflation is to increase interest rates. And over the last month or so, we have started to see those interest rates being hiked by a variety of central banks all around the world. So in this video, I'll go through exactly where we are with regards to the levels of inflation across the globe. We'll talk about which countries have started to increase interest rates and by how much they've done that. I'll then talk about quantitative easing, which is the other main driver that a lot of central banks have used over the last couple of years to stimulate their economies. But the downside of quantitative easing is that it also drives up inflation. So we're now seeing a lot of countries announcing that they are removing their QE programs and they're actually going for quantitative tightening. So I'll give you a quick breakdown of exactly what quantitative easing entails, and then we'll have a look at what countries are unwinding those programs and what the impact of that is going to be. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen to the global economy as a result of these changes in interest rates that we're seeing, but also the forecast levels of increases that are coming in the rest of 2022. So before we get into all of that, if I can ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget, I always include chapters. So if there's a section you're not that interested in or it's too long, it's really easy to skip over it and move on to the next. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below where you'll find links to Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon and also YouTube's Super Thanks feature. Inflation rates have been increasing all across the world over the last 6 months or so. 2020 was the year that we were all impacted by the COVID pandemic. We saw a lot of companies being closed down, a lot of industries went into mothballing, and so we had a real slowdown. And then in 2021, as we started to see a lot of the lockdown restrictions relaxed, we saw a boom in the economy. People were desperate to get back to work. They were desperate to get out there to spend some money to start living their lives again. And that massive increase in demand meant that we saw an increase in prices all across the world. So that was the situation that we had towards the end of 2021. We were seeing inflation starting to increase everywhere. And then when Russia decided to invade Ukraine on the 24th of February, we saw a massive jump in the price of oil and natural gas and food substances and commodities. So that's really been the catalyst to accelerate inflation even further. And we've now got extremely high levels in most countries across the world. This table shows the current rates of inflation for the G20, which is the 20 largest economies in the world. So if you follow the channel, you'll know that we've been covering Turkey in some detail. And I recently posted a video talking about the fact that inflation has now hit 70% in Turkey, which is the highest level for 20 years and is off the scale in terms of price increases. And when you look at the details of what's going on in Turkey, it's actually worse than that because the food prices are up around 89% and energy costs are over 100%. I've touched on Argentina previously. There are specific reasons for the problems in Argentina. I keep promising to do a video on that. I will do that at some point soon, but I'm just caught up with a lot of these Russian videos right now. And that takes us on to Russia, where inflation is now close to 17%, predominantly due to the sanctions that have been brought in by a lot of the Western countries. Brazil has been experiencing double-digit inflation for the last couple of months. And as we run down this chart, you can see that the Netherlands has the highest rate of inflation in the Eurozone. The USA is now at 8.5% official rate of inflation, which is the highest level for around 30 years. The Eurozone as a whole has hit around 7.5%. And that's really interesting. We'll come onto the Eurozone later. But the target rate for the Eurozone is 2%, and that's becoming a really big problem for them. The United Kingdom is no longer part of the EU and inflation has now hit 7%, which is the highest level that's been seen for over 10 years. India is also around 7%. Canada's now up to 6.7%. You can see on this table that the previous 12-month running total is shown at 5.7% for Canada, so a significant increase in the month. South Africa is close to 6%. Australia is now above 5%, which is the highest level for over 20 years. And South Korea is now at 4.8%, which is the highest level for 10 years. So we've got a variety of inflation rates all across the world right now. But the consistent theme is that we are seeing highs that have not been seen for 10, 15, 20, 30 years in a lot of countries. And that's obviously a major cause for concern. But the other major issue is that these rates are significantly above the target rate that the central bank is looking to achieve. So in a lot of countries, the target rate is 2%. And there are very few countries right now that are anywhere near 2%. And so the central banks have now got to do something about this. They've got to bring that inflation down. Otherwise, it's going to have a damaging effect on the economy. If inflation gets too high, then the cost of living gets too high for a lot of the population, and it has a disproportionate impact on the people with the lower incomes. So there are some major issues that need to be addressed right now, and the problems that are being caused by the war in Ukraine are really accelerating these issues, because energy prices and food prices affect everybody. So the basket of goods that we're talking about for all of these countries when they're measuring inflation includes all of those costs, and that's why we're seeing month-on-month increases, and something needs to be done to address this. So as a direct result of those high levels of inflation, we're now starting to see all of the central banks increase their interest rates. So over the last few weeks, we have seen the Fed in the USA increase rates by 50 basis points. And that was the biggest single increase that's been seen in the USA for over 22 years. In Canada, the central bank took the same approach and increased rates in April by 50 basis points, which was also the biggest increase for 22 years in Canada. New Zealand also increased their rates by 50 basis points in April, and that's the biggest increase that's been introduced for 20 years, and is also the fourth increase that they've seen over the last 7 months in New Zealand. The United Kingdom has increased interest rates by 0.25% in May, and that's the fourth increase over the last 6 months in the UK. Australia have just increased their borrowing rates by 0.25%, which was the first time in a decade that Australia have moved their rates. India have just increased their interest rates for the first time in 4 years. And South Korea and Brazil have also increased their rates over the last few weeks. And this table shows the current official interest rates in the G20 countries. Argentina is obviously the outlier here with an interest rate of 47%. Russia, who we've talked a lot about on the channel, introduced an emergency rate of 20% at the start of the war and has subsequently reduced that on two separate occasions and is now at 14%. Turkey, as you may be aware, has been following a counterintuitive policy of reducing interest rates at a time of very high inflation. So they've actually come down by 500 basis points from 19% to 14% over the last 6 months or so. And that's had a disastrous impact in terms of the current rate of 70% inflation. Brazil has been aggressively increasing its interest rate to try to combat the high levels of inflation. That hasn't proved to be a success yet. And then we can see a big drop in the official rates to 6.5% for Mexico, 4.4% for India, 4.25% for South Africa. And then if we drop down this list, we can see that the current rates of interest are still very low for a lot of the developed world. So South Korea recently increased their rate from 1.25% to 1.5%. Canada, the UK and the USA are now at 1% official rate of interest. And then we've got some very low rates. So Australia is still at 0.35, and the Eurozone is still sitting with a 0% official interest rate. And now that is incredible when you compare that to the inflation in the Eurozone right now, which is at 7.5%. So the official rate of inflation is higher than it is in the UK, Mexico, India, Canada, South Africa, and Australia. And let's not forget that the Eurozone is the area that is being most affected by Russia's invasion of Ukraine, because most of those countries rely upon imports of natural gas and oil directly from Russia, and the price of all of those imports has gone up dramatically. So it's likely that we're going to see the inflation rate increase further in the Eurozone over the next few months. And as the war carries on, it will continue putting pressure on prices. So at some point soon, the Eurozone needs to get with the program and start moving its interest rates up. And it's interesting that one of the ECB board members has just made a statement saying that they do not believe that the European Central Bank should raise interest rates before July because they need to see the Q2 data. Now, I obviously haven't seen the Q2 data, but I can tell you that inflation will be going up, because when you look at the fundamentals, there is no way that inflation is coming down from 7.5% in the Eurozone. It's likely to be going closer to 10%, in my opinion, because a lot of the prices will be driven by what's happening to fuel prices and food prices. Another driver for inflation is quantitative easing. And this was a program that was first introduced in the USA by the Federal Reserve at the time of the global financial crisis. And I thought it was worth spending a minute now just to recap on what QE is and how it has an impact on the economy, because it's important right now because we've had a lot of quantitative easing over the last couple of years, and all of those programs are now starting to be unwound. So I think it's key to be able to understand exactly what it is and what it does before you can understand what the negative impact will be on the global economy. When a central bank uses quantitative easing, it purchases large quantities of assets, such as government bonds, to lower borrowing costs, boost spending, support economic growth, and ultimately it will have an impact on inflation. This graphic shows how quantitative easing works. So we start with a central bank buying bonds and asset-backed securities, which increases the price of those bonds. Because the demand's gone up, the price goes up. And as bond prices increase, because they have a fixed coupon attached to them, it means that the interest rates fall. So just to explain that in very simple terms, if you have a $100 bond, which has a 5% coupon on it, that $100 bond will pay the holder $5 per year. If the price of that bond increased to $200, the holder would still only receive $5 per year. So the real rate of interest on that bond, if you paid $200 for it, would then be 2.5%, because you're only receiving $5 for your $200 investment. So that's why interest rates fall when bond prices rise. The holders of bonds are generally financial institutions, so when they sell those bonds to the government, it gives them more cash, and they will use that cash to increase their lending. And as the amount of lending in the economy increases, it becomes more competitive and rates are reduced, which means it becomes cheaper for households to borrow. As the cost of borrowing falls, firms and households borrow more, and more borrowing results in higher consumption and higher levels of investment. And this increased spending results in economic growth. And economic growth will equate to an increase in jobs, but there will usually also be an increase in prices because demand and the economy is increasing. So hopefully that gives you a decent understanding as to how quantitative easing works and how it stimulates the economy. And if we look at this chart, it shows the amount of quantitative easing that's been undertaken over the last 8 years by the major economies around the world. So we can see at the bottom of the chart, we've got the US economy, the Federal Reserve, in the orange section. We've then got the Bank of Japan in the black section. We've got Europe in blue and Bank of England for the UK in green. So what this chart shows is that the amount of quantitative easing has increased in the US from $4.2 trillion in 2019 to $9 trillion in 2022. So over the last 3 years, we have seen the amount of quantitative easing increase by almost $5 trillion in the USA. In Japan, we've seen an increase of $1 trillion from $5.3 to $6.3 trillion. The amount of quantitative easing in Europe has increased from $5.2 trillion to $9.8 trillion, so almost doubled. And in the UK, the amount has actually doubled from 800 billion to 1.6 trillion. So what these figures show us is that the economies of the developed world over the last 3 years have been propped up almost entirely by quantitative easing. The fact that the central banks have been buying bonds and stimulating the economy has really kept those economies growing through the difficult couple of years that we've had caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. So this really is a good explanation as to why we've got such high levels of inflation all across the world right now. We've been stimulating the economy constantly, and also we reduced interest rates to virtually zero in most of the developed world. So it's been a perfect scenario in terms of growth. We've had low cost of borrowing, and we've had a lot of money in the economy that's been available to everybody. So the global economy is sitting at a tipping point right now. We've got inflation at levels that have not been seen for 10 or 20 or 30 years in a lot of countries. In addition to that, we've also got interest rates at the lowest levels that they've been for a very long period of time. When you look at the 10-year average, interest rates are extremely low right now. In addition to that, we've also got massive amounts of quantitative easing. So we're now at this critical point where, in order to reduce the high levels of inflation, the global economy is going to have to increase interest rates and remove all of the quantitative easing that it's put in place over the last few years. Now, the direct result of low rates of interest and freely available cash is that people will borrow more debt. And that's exactly what's happened over the last few years. This chart shows the levels of household debt over the last 18 years in the USA. And you can see that the amount of mortgage debt is currently at its highest level over the whole of that period. But also the level of non-mortgage debt is at a 20-year high. And the problem with the high levels of debt that we've got right now is that the main way of solving the inflation problem is to increase interest rates. And so a lot of people will start to suffer going forward as those interest rates are hiked. Now, I know some people will have fixed rate mortgages, so they'll be protected. But all of the new mortgage applications will be impacted immediately. All of the credit card borrowing will be impacted immediately. Some of the car loans and other personal loans will also have a floating element to them. So there will be an impact in the short term, but over the medium to long term, it's definitely going to hit the economy because people who are trying to get new mortgages now to try and compete in the current housing market won't be able to borrow as much money because the calculations will include the higher rates of interest. So what that will do is it will start to dampen down demand in the housing market, and so we may well see house prices starting to come down. But the overall impact of increasing interest rates is that it will start to reduce disposable income and will have a contracting effect on the economy. And that will be compounded by the unwinding of the quantitative easing program. The explanation that I showed you earlier as to how quantitative easing stimulates the economy will go into reverse. So we will see central banks starting to sell bonds, which will mean that there's an excess supply, and that will reduce the prices of bonds and therefore increase interest rates further. And it will also mean that the financial institutions will be using their cash to buy those bonds and therefore will have less cash available for lending, and so reduces the supply of money. So the bottom line here is that all of the measures that will be brought in to reduce inflation will have a negative impact on the economy. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, the impact of the COVID pandemic was devastating on the global economy, and it meant that a lot of central banks reduced their official rate of interest to virtually zero. So that made borrowing very cheap. And at the same time, a lot of countries introduced quantitative easing programs to try to stimulate growth. So that meant that there was plenty of cash available for borrowing at very low interest rates. So that's led to a boom in household debt, and also companies have been borrowing heavily as well. And as we came out of the pandemic in 2021, we saw an increase in demand, which led to an increase in prices. So at the start of 2022, we were already sitting at a situation with relatively high rates of inflation. When Russia invaded Ukraine, we saw a spike in oil prices, gas prices, food prices, and commodity prices. And that's really accentuated the problem that we had with inflation at that time. Where we are right now is that inflation is now hitting emergency levels. We can't carry on with the rates of inflation that we're seeing just now. So as a result, a lot of central banks are now taking drastic action, and we are seeing rapid increases in interest rates. 50 basis point increases could become the norm over the next 6 months or so. At the same time as those interest rate increases, we're also seeing a lot of the central banks deciding that they need to reverse their quantitative easing programs. So we're going to see a contraction in the supply of cash in those economies. And the impact of those interest rate increases and reduction of QE is going to have a really negative impact on the economy. We're going to see economies contract rapidly, and we could easily see a global recession kicking in within the next 6 months. And one of the major problems that the global economy is going to experience over the next 6 months is the fact that the war in Ukraine is keeping all of those external prices high. So the price of oil, the price of natural gas and food and commodities is likely to remain high whilst this conflict continues, because we're seeing a change in the way people are sourcing materials, we're seeing changes in the supply chain, and we're seeing sanctions imposed against the cheapest supplier of oil and gas to the European markets. So that means that prices will stay high. So even though all these central banks will be doing things to try to bring inflation down, they might not be able to succeed in their target of hitting 2% inflation. So that means that they may then increase interest rates even further and further accelerate the reduction in QE. So we could see a vicious circle where the measures are not working because the war is keeping the price of all these essential raw materials really high all across the world. So we could find ourselves in a really desperate situation where the cost of borrowing is high, the availability of cash is low, but inflation still continues to increase because of what's happening in Ukraine. So the next 6 months are going to be really interesting, and I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments and interest rate rises as and when they happen. So if you've liked what I said today and thought it was interesting, informative and educational, then please give me that thumbs up, and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hey guys, just a quick update on Joe Blogs 2. We are now at around 3,500 hours of watch time. So we're getting so much closer to that 4,000 hours mark. But I still need to ask you to keep watching those videos. We still need another 500 hours worth of watch. Hopefully we can get there within the next week or so, and then we can move on to the next phase of this experiment. So thanks very much for supporting the Joe Blogs 2 idea. Thanks very much for watching this part of the video, and thanks for watching this whole video all the way to the end.